I'm Lillian Vasquez with Lifestyles on KVCR. Thanks for listening. Today on the show, I'll talk with Jennifer O'Farrell. She's the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters for the Inland Empire. We'll talk in detail about the organization, what it takes to be a mentor, and other ways to get involved. She'll share how a one-to-one relationship can change the course of a child's future. And today on the show, I'll have a Throwback Thursday story. It's coming up on Lifestyles with me, Lillian Vasquez, right after the news. Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. My guest today is Jennifer O'Farrell. She's the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters for the Inland Empire. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So what is Big Brothers Big Sisters? I think it's been around a long time, but tell me what it is.
Yeah, we have a beautiful national history for about 110 years providing, we're about mentoring youth and changing futures, giving kids an opportunity that don't have a mentor that comes naturally into their life, an opportunity for them to have a champion and a big brother or a big sister really be that guide and positive role model in their life.
Tell me about the mentoring process.
All the mentoring Big Brothers Big Sisters does is always one-to-one, recognizing that at-risk youth, the biggest thing an individual that they need is someone that they can go to. So everybody is matched one-to-one. So every child gets their individual mentor, their individual big brother or big sister. And every mentoring friendship is professionally supported, meaning that as a volunteer, I may not know everything about a child or child development, but the beauty is that we provide you a staff member, a Big Brothers Big Sisters caseworker, to say, we have answers for you. So when you find out that your mentee is struggling through things that you may not have experienced, we're here to help you along the way. The traditional model is what you and I and others know that we've been doing for 110 plus years, is where an adult is matched with a child between the ages of 6 to 18. It's organic. It would be me picking up my little sister at her home or apartment or foster home and taking her out, getting her to experience opportunities that she may not have within her home or within her environment, getting her to see a museum, going to the movies, just going to the park to take a walk, going up to, depending where the hikes are around in your neighborhood, taking her on a hike so that she can really start developing insights and exploration that she may not get on her own based on the limitations of family or environment.
Okay, so that's the traditional one.
And then we realized that, yeah, that we've got a great group of high school students that are kind of future leaders in our communities, and there's something really transformative about a peer-to-peer mentoring friendship. And so we have a high school model where we have high school students meet weekly with an elementary school student. And so this takes place at the elementary school site. Our high school student mentor is going to the elementary school site to meet with their mentee every single week throughout the entire school year.
Does the high schooler go there on their own? Is it a group of high schoolers that are bused over there, or how does that part work?
Great question. Each of the high schoolers that volunteer are screened and trained, and then do some training prior to them actually becoming a mentor with us. And then after that, then yes, they know that they have a scheduled school site, and so our sites are close in proximity, that the high school is maybe a few blocks away
from
the elementary school site, and so they are walking as a group to the elementary school after school.
So that's your second way. And what's the third way?
The third way is in seeing that a lot of our young people aren't as prepared as maybe we would like them to be for kind of college and career, that next step after high school. And so if we were able to get kids into a workplace environment, that may start actually building ideas of what other career options there are. And so getting kids to see that, man, there's just so many other careers. So our workplace mentoring allows students to be bused to meet with their corporate mentor on a monthly basis, but to be in that corporate environment, to learn what's happening, what are all the different jobs that take place in this industry, and really get to ask all of their questions with kind of that connection of a mentor along the way, so that they can kind of see, okay, there's so many other careers, and here's what degrees or skill sets or trainings that you need to be able to succeed in them.
Okay, so about the workplace, again, do they go kind of as a field trip, or are they taken over there? Are they going to go to a workplace, and let's say it's a big corporation like Amazon, and they're going to different parts of the company, or is it one-to-one and they see that same mentor every time at that particular business?
So actually, Amazon is one of our partners.
And oh, good.
So we bus San Gregorio students from San Bernardino City Unified on a monthly basis. So they all get on the bus the same date and time of every month and go over and meet with their mentor that's the same mentor for the course of the entire year. But in this case, they do get to tour. So maybe their mentor is in the HR department or their mentor is in the logistics side of it. They get to hear all the different departments. And so what we do is create tours. We create a curriculum that's designed towards that company so that the youth get exposed to all of the facets of career and options through the company, through Amazon. But then they can really start asking those nitty-gritty questions and have that personalized mentor to kind of walk them through, like, what visions do they really have? What goals do they have? And if they see themselves here, what do they really need to put in place so that they're ready after high school? Well, that takes place at the corporate site.
So I know you have a new building. I guess it opened up in 2013. Is that when it kicked off?
We are 5 years old. 2018 marks our fifth birthday party.
Nice.
Serving the Inland Empire, and originally located in the city of Montclair. And in that time, for the last 4 years, we have served over 1,000 kids. What we realized is that we now had 21 employees within 2,000 square feet, and we had outgrown our opportunity, and we realized our families couldn't make it to that location, and we really wanted to be more centralized so that our families could get to us. So centralizing us and relocating us to Riverside has truly given us an opportunity to serve more kids and really allow us to expand.
I'm speaking with Jennifer O'Farrell. She is the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Inland Empire. So now that you're in a new location and you're more centrally located to serve the families, tell me some of the challenges your organization faces.
Challenges for us is that every child needs a mentor. I mean, the biggest challenge is we have kids coming in saying, I need and want a mentor, and we need more mentors.
So what does it take to be a mentor, and what are we really asking that mentor to do?
We kind of call it 3-2-1, for 3 hours, twice a month, for a year. And what we know in that, it really develops confidence, and trust within a child. And I think when we think of any friendship that we have in life, it takes time, it takes commitment, it takes communication and heart. And through that, you have fun and great memories, and you get to see this child unlock their potential once they begin to trust and once they begin to know that you are their champion and there to support them. So it's hard, but it's beautiful, and it's so rewarding. I would say our mentors come back more and more of how they have grown and learned and been changed so much because of the friendship with their mentee.
Right. I would think that how would I let go of a kid that I've been a part of for a year and suddenly stop seeing them? I think that would be hard on me as well as the child. What's the process for the mentor? What do they need to do?
So we do a DOJ, Department of Justice, and FBI background check, a fingerprinting check. We look at your driving as well, because you will be picking the child up. And then we ask you to come in for an interview. The interview is roughly 90 minutes, but it's really for us to get to know you so that we know maybe hurdles you've triumphed over your life so that we could match you with a child. Part of the interview is really to get to know you and ensure that we are matching you up with really a child that you feel like you can really help.
And how do you decide on that match? If you met my personality, what are you basing on? What kind of person, young kid, would you put with me?
Yeah, so lots of factors come in. So the first would be geography. The first is really where you live and making sure that you're not driving 40, 50, 60 minutes in our very large two counties to be able to have a child that's really local to your backyard to where you can really pick them up and then go and start your adventures together. And then it is by personality of interest that both of you may like. So we talk about hobbies, we talk about experiences, we talk about things you would want to do, and really connecting you with a child that fits that energy level, fits that connection. We also look at where you feel strong in. And so do you feel like, oh, a high school student would be so much up my alley, or you're like, please don't match me with a high school student. And so we really look at all those variables to make that really good friendship.
Now, as a big, how involved can the big be in the child's life?
Why, we're not parent, a mentor is, someone truly invested, but you're not the parental unit. We're looking at, depending on the time frame that the mentor has, spend several times a month and meet and they go on outings. And then you have other mentors that come alongside and really connect with the entire family, and the family ends up coming over for Christmas holiday dinners. And so it sometimes becomes where the whole family becomes a part of the family, and that's not always the case. That's not our ask. But for some mentors, like, just naturally happens that way.
After the break, I'll continue my conversation with Jennifer O'Farrell with Big Brothers Big Sisters Inland Empire. When we return, we'll learn how any of us could be a big. You're listening to Lifestyles. I'm Lillian Vasquez. If you're just joining us, I'm learning about the Big Brothers Big Sisters program here in the Inland Empire. My guest is Jennifer O'Farrell, who is the executive director. We're talking about becoming a big or a mentor and what it entails. What are the true costs to the mentor? I imagine they're going on outings or taking them to a minor league ball game or a major league ball game or whatever activities. What are the parameters or are there?
We really encourage that our kids are wanting consistency. Sometimes, you know, mentors come in and think, do I need to take them to Disneyland? And
right.
We're looking at 35% of our boys haven't played catch before.
Okay.
So we're looking at kids that haven't done simple things. And so going to a park and playing catch is huge and gigantic for a child. Those small things that don't cost money, but the cost is a part of the volunteer's commitment.
Right.
But a lot of that, you know, the philosophy behind that is what our kids are so surprised about is that, you know, this volunteer isn't paid to be their mentor, isn't paid to be their friend. And for a lot of our kids, that's the first adult in their life that's not paid to be a part of their life. They may have a therapist or a social worker or other people that are paid to be a part.
Right.
So the beauty of the commitment that the mentor makes with us is that it really shows to the child that this mentor has no agenda but to just be by their side.
So it could be going on a picnic, it could be going to the lake, it could be going on a bicycle ride.
Yes, and then we provide monthly events. So as an agency, we offer free tickets, so we'll work with different partners, whether that be Ontario Reign or our local minor leagues or other groups where we'll get tickets to be able to provide so that that reduces cost to them. And then on a monthly basis, we do what we call match events. And so the last few months, we had a robotics company come out and do a really cool robotics experience for the youth, or we've done salsa dancing lessons, or we go and work with Academy and do a lot of STEM and kind of get into wood shop and different steel and different items like that. And so we'll do those and pay the cost and have a different experience that maybe they wouldn't have done on their own.
You mentioned that your staff grew to about 21 employees. What is your staff charged with? I'm guessing that fundraising and events is somewhere in there?
Yes. So some of our staff are charged with the fundraising component. Majority of our staff are direct service in the sense that they are the interviewers, that they are the caseworkers, really supporting every mentoring friendship that we have. Actually, September 19th and 20th is our annual Bowl for Kids' Sake, which is a bowling fundraiser. So think about into the fun days of bowl-a-thons as a kid. And so we do kind of grassroots to company-sponsored fundraising, where for a team of eight raises $1,500, which is what it costs us to serve a child for in the entire year. And so every team commits to raising $1,500, but we have two nights of that because we continue to expand, and so we have over 80 teams and 80 companies and organizations that come out to bowl and raise money. Background checks are never a cost that are put onto the volunteer, that we can provide the specialized interviewing that we offer, because what we really hear from our mentors is having someone to call when a challenge comes up is vital. So really having that professional support tied to every mentoring match is what I think have volunteers feel good when they come in the door, is that I'm mentoring, but I'm not doing it alone. I have someone by my side if I've got questions.
Where does your Bowling for Kids take place?
Bowling for Kids' Sake takes place in Riverside as well. That's at the Bolero off of Indiana. We do actually another Bowl for Kids annually in May. We have a Bowl for Kids' Sake that's out in the Temecula Southwest area.
Okay, so you have a couple of them in different regions. What other events do you have?
March 8th through the 10th, so we do a three-day weekend that we call the Desert Getaway. And so we do 3 days, two nights at the La Quinta Resort, where we have guests come out and they have an experience between golfing at a private country club out in the La Quinta area to attending our suite that we have at the BNP, the tennis tournament out in Indian Wells. And so
it's
a fun weekend to just network, relax, but all going for a great cause. This year, because it's our fifth birthday, we will be having a fifth birthday party on October 18th, looking at just a fun night to celebrate the fact that in less than 5 years, we've served over 1,000 kids.
Your organization supports all of the Inland Empire, so anyone in the Inland Empire in the two regions would go through you, whether it's in the Coachella Valley or Barstow?
Great question. So yes, for all of San Bernardino County and then Western Riverside County,
okay,
we have another Big Brothers Big Sisters chapter that oversees the Coachella Valley.
I see. My guest is Jennifer O'Farrell. She's the executive director of Big Brothers Big Sisters of the Inland Empire. Anecdotally, can you share some of the comments that mentors have shared with you or that children who have grown up or aged out have shared with you the effect or the emotion about participating in the program?
I think from our youth perspective, most of them end up saying, I wouldn't have graduated high school if my big was not by my side. About 62% of our families don't have a high school diploma. And so that road, why it seems such a common practice, can be a whole new terrain for a family. And so what our kids tend to say over and over is that I wouldn't have been able to make it. I wouldn't have been able to ask the right questions to my counselors, to my teachers, if my big wasn't by my side.
And what about the mentors? What have you heard from them?
Mentors, I think one of the few that makes me smile, so I'm already kind of smiling and chuckling to myself, is like the excitement of like, I get to do all the things that I did as a kid again, and I'm having so much fun. I think you hear from our mentors that they're getting to relive a lot of their own childhood and bring that and impart that to a young person. But they also just end up realizing, well, I became a mentor so that I could help change a child's life. I had no idea how much my heart and my life would be changed back. I love when all of a sudden we get a photo from a mentor that their mentee was in their wedding as like the flower girl or the ring bearer or other journeys along the way when they take a picture with graduation hats on and all of a sudden you see this lifelong friendship become this beautiful, almost like family.
That's really nice. What age group of the mentors do you see or what age groups could you use?
So application is from 18 and up. We really look for that 21 to kind of that young professional that is starting career, maybe hasn't started family yet in life. And so looking at that young professional to be a mentor and then really looking at the empty nesters, so to speak, or those
sure.
that are kind of our fun baby boomers that are exploring of how I now have a lot of time. I'm retired. What do I do? And how do I give back? They're just a great, beautiful addition of volunteer because they've either raised a family or had that life experience to really impart back to the needs of what our youth are really having. And then I think that young professional is that kind of you're not too far away in age so that our young people, our mentees are like, if you've gone through college, I can do it too because you've done it. I can do it and really kind of reinforces that positive role model.
If someone would like to be a mentor, what's the first thing they need to do?
They can call or they can go to our website at ieinlandempirebig.org, sign up online so they can kind of begin their process to sign up directly.
And about how long does the process take? Is it a couple of months? So if they're thinking, oh, I want to start this summer, is that not realistic or is it?
I think candidly, it's a little bit based on geography. So we have some key cities that we have a heavy concentration of kids on a wait list for.
Where is that?
They are in Riverside, Corona, Rialto, San Bernardino, Fontana, and Ontario, and Murrieta. They're near those particular areas. We could have them matched within 4 weeks.
Wow. Okay. Jennifer, thank you so much for sharing about the program and good luck in future endeavors.
Thank you so much.
To learn more about Big Brothers Big Sisters, go to our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on today's show. You'll find the link to Big Brothers Big Sisters. Maybe you have time in your world at this point in your life that being a big brother or a big sister might be something you'd consider. Now I've got a Throwback Thursday story for you. It was a story I produced earlier this year. It's about bus stops. Bus stops. If you don't ride the bus for your daily transportation, you may not give them much thought, which got me thinking about them. Bus Stop was the name of a movie with Marilyn Monroe. It was the name of a 60s TV series. It was the title of a song by the Hollies, and a bus stop was a fundamental asset in the movie Forrest Gump. Bus stops are a waiting zone or a location to gather. They can be simple with just a bench or more elaborate with a shelter and charging stations. They can vary from city to city, state to state, or country to country. To learn more about bus stops and their origin, I turn to a Corona company, Toller Manufacturing. Gary Toller started welding while he was in high school and went on to craft his skill as a welder. Later, he would go on to manage a company in Los Angeles that manufactured bus stops. In 1991, he started his own company, Toller Manufacturing. He learned over the years what clients want in a bus shelter and their variation of styles.
The styles evolve. The clients want something new and they want something different. They want to be unique to their own community and give their citizens and their ridership something better, where they feel a sense of space, a sense of place, so where they can feel comfortable staying and waiting for the bus, even though it can be only 5 minutes. We do a lot on the East Coast, on the West Coast. We do a lot where it's a hot environment, so we have it more open air. Airflow comes through that. We have them on the East Coast where we have glass around it, keeping warm. We have heaters in them. They keep up with the times, they put real information. We have USB ports where they can charge their phones in there. So we have to keep up year to year in technology.
Unexpected to me, it was the outdoor advertising companies that started the bus shelter industry.
They really changed it. They drove how they wanted people to perceive them. You know, getting the best thing, the nicest looking structures out there, because they bid out these jobs to cities that they had to share revenues with. So they had to bring something new and improved to the table to get these, you know, 10, 20 year contracts with the cities.
Executive Vice President Patrick Merrick.
I think one of the things that, you know, people perceive the outdoor advertising company is those ugly billboard people. But now this was a way for them to get their advertising onto the street, get it at curbside level, and provide a service. So I'm not just putting my ad out there where you're a local dry goods store. I'm also offering a service to the community. So in exchange for a share of revenue, the outdoor advertising company got to adopt the sidewalk, so to speak. So they pay for the structure, they maintain the structure, and in many cases cut either the city or the transit agency a check for the right to do that.
In the beginning, bus stops were fairly simple, and they all looked alike.
And similar to Henry Ford, there was only one type of bus shelter. It only came in one color.
Right? It was one flat roof, and it was one length, and that's it.
Yeah.
Wow, how times have changed, even for bus stops, or should I say bus shelters, or outdoor furniture, as it can be referred to in the industry. So, where do the ideas of new styles and designs begin? Sometimes ideas for shelters begin on a cocktail napkin and build from there.
A lot of times the city will say, we want something new, and they'll just write down a cocktail napkin. We want something that kind of looks like this, but we don't want to spend that much for it. So then you got to really start thinking, how can we, you know, really give them what they want without spending a whole lot of money?
Bus stops, bus shelters, outdoor furniture are always on Gary and Patrick's mind, even while on vacation.
2 or 3 years ago, I was in Italy, and they had structures there, and I take pictures of everything. And what would work there may not necessarily work here. We're bound by very strict codes for seismic and wind load and things like that. But we kind of look at those looks and say, well, can we utilize some of these little intricate looks into our product line that would offer something else to our customers?
So you're telling me the photos in your phone are not family, they're bus stops.
We just downloaded like 100 of them about 3 days ago from pictures from vacations. So yeah, it's just one of the kids, five of the bus shelves.
Toller Manufacturing has over 450 models, designs, and prototypes, and they're always creating more based on the client and the client's desire to serve their community and their bus rider. In Corona, I'm Lillian Vasquez. That's our show. Thanks to all who helped to make the show possible, including David Fleming, Sharina Wadd, Sean Houlihan, Roger Ashheim, and executive producer Rick Dulock. If you'd like to hear any of my past interviews, go to our website at kvcrnews.org/lifestyles and click on the interview you'd like to hear. While you're there, leave me a message or share an idea for an upcoming segment for Lifestyles. Thanks for listening. Join me next week at the same time for Lifestyles with Lillian Vasquez. Bye for now.